Welcome to the March 1st, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Thoughts on the Passover. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We are so pleased that you are here for worship this morning. We would like to find out who is here. We have a way to do this. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to take this this pew pad and write your name in there. Guests, we do ask that you put your contact information if you feel comfortable doing that. Members, this is a place for you to update your contact information. Also, if you could check the appropriate boxes, that will help us find out who is here this morning. We do ask that once send it all the way down to the end of the pew. Once it reaches the end and everybody's had a chance to fill it out, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be great. Also, once it gets back to the first person on the pew who wrote in it this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used so our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service, that would be extremely helpful for us. Some announcements we have as we get settled for worship. A reminder to our children, we are having children's time today. That is right after the first hymn, hymn number 546. Love lifted me. Want the children to come on down and meet me down here for children's time. Let's see. Other announcements. We are not having, because of the imminent snow, the blizzard that is North Carolina weather. Just to be sure, we are going to cancel tonight's activities. We want everybody to be safe. And I've seen some of you drive in normal weather. I'm not really sure I want to see you driving with any ice on the road. So we decided to cancel tonight's activities. So we want you to stay home with your families, enjoy that time. It's a vacation day. It's the Sabbath day. We want you to rest together. So we hope you take advantage of this afternoon and no church activities. Angie Summers, come on.
Good morning. I don't particularly like being up here, but I'm going to be up here anyway. I'm here this morning to make Annie Armstrong emphasis. It's the North American Missions emphasis. Annie Armstrong offering actually starts today, March 1st, and it will run through March 8th. And inside your bulletin, you have an Annie Armstrong offering, as well as a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship envelope. And Joyce Love will be the speaker on Wednesday night, March 4th, which is actually this Wednesday evening. Thank you.
Good morning. A couple months ago, somebody came up to me and handed me a book and says, "Have you read this book? I think we need to have a study on this book and compare this particular book to the Bible." And the book was The Shack. And I don't know how many here have read the book The Shack or not. It's an interesting read. It is well known beyond church circles at this point. It's on bestseller lists all over the place. It is an interesting book. It does deal with God. Depending on whose review you read, it is the greatest thing on the face of the planet, or it's the most heretical piece of literature you've ever read. And so that just depends on where you get your review. We are going to do a shack study starting March 15th, and we're actually going to have it Sunday evenings at 6. Dr. Edwards is going to teach it. Wednesday evenings at about 6:30, shortly before, Barbie is going to do it in the other half, or I should say between 6:30 and 6:45 is going to do it in the other side of the coffee house, for those of you that are in the coffee house on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to offer it as well on Thursday evenings, and I will teach that course. We're going to meet for 3 weeks. at least start out with 3 weeks. Some of y'all may find discussion goes beyond that, and we may pick it up after Easter, but we're going to go up until Easter. If you have not read it, you have 2 weeks to read it, and it's not a hard read. You'll read it pretty quickly, and I think you'll find it interesting. So I would encourage you, if you've not had a chance to read it, to go ahead and to read it. If you have read it, you might go back and read it again, because there's a lot of stuff in there to think about. We look forward to seeing you starting Sunday night, March 15th. There will be some more information in upcoming newsletter, and I think we're getting it out to Sunday schools next week. So I hope to see you there.
Okay. Next Sunday, our college students and adults are headed to Charleston for our spring break mission trip. We've done this for quite a number of years, and one of the things that we need your help with is, well, they're college students, so they like to eat lots of food. And you are good at making food. And so what we're asking is next Sunday morning, those who are willing and able, if you could provide us with snack foods, desserts, brownies are good, chocolate of any kind is good, any pound cake, anything else? Oatmeal cookies. We're taking orders. Anybody else? That would be next Sunday with our college mission trip. We're leaving next Sunday afternoon. So any of the help that you can provide with providing snacks and desserts and things like that, will help keep the cost down for our college students. And we appreciate you helping us out with that. We're very grateful this morning to have guests with us. You've already given us your information on the pew pats. The ushers are coming down the aisles, and they want to give something to you. So if you're a guest this morning, we invite you just to raise your hand as the ushers come back down the aisles. They would like to give you some information. Inside this packet of information, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we appreciate you being with us this morning, and we hope that this hour is a blessing to you, as your presence is a blessing to us. Let us prepare for what God was going to do in us and through us during this worship service. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning, it was kind of cold and rainy, and many of us could have chosen not to be here this morning. But for whatever reason, you got us up. You continued this gift of life, and you called us to this place. And there is much to celebrate in our lives, so much to be thankful for. And we worship you and we praise you for all the good things that are happening in our lives. But many of us are struggling with the day-to-day challenges and questions. So many of the days that we face are full of fear. Fear of what's going to happen next. But Father, on this day, on this cold, rainy Sunday, remind us that your love and your light is brighter than the darkest fears of our lives. That your Son came into this world to give us hope. You are a God of hope and of second chances, of mercy and grace. You are the God who forgives, the God who picks us up, cleans us off, and gives us a purpose for this day. Help us to see that for each one of us. Help us to understand that deep in our souls, that you love us, you offer forgiveness, and for that we celebrate. And for that we are thankful. And for that we worship. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Everybody. Good. All right. We got some more coming down. I've got something here. Yep. Oh, come on down. It's no food. This is not food. I'm not giving y'all any more food. All right. Take a seat. Now, does anybody know what this is? Okay. It is. And it's something that we do. I do a lot of work on and see, I'm not turning it on. Okay. We're not turning it on. Now, something that happens when you work with computers, I see you trying to touch it. Don't touch it. Now, something that happens with computers, I don't know if you know this or not, that after a while, you know, you get to working on computers, but do you realize how dirty they get? Mm-hmm. But you don't see it. I mean, you get on there and you work on it and then you see all this stuff that's on the screen. You got to look real close. Don't touch. But you can see all that stuff that's on the screen. It's really kind of disgusting. And that's sometimes you have to get the special cloth right here that doesn't scratch the screen, but it does a good job of cleaning the screen. See, sometimes what happens, and it's got all this. Can you kind of see that dirt, that brown stuff right there on my finger? Ooh, it's kind of, it's kind of nasty. But see what happens? We don't always see all this dirt until all of a sudden there's too much there. Every day we don't necessarily clean up the computer until it gets so bad that we have to clean it. And you know, sometimes our life is kind of like that. You know, we don't really do a lot of asking God for forgiveness every day. We just kind of wait till our mistakes and our sins kind of build up, and it gets so bad that, God, you gotta forgive me. But God says every day that we need to ask for forgiveness, because every day we sin. Every day we make a mistake. Every day we do something that God is not happy with. And He wants us to ask for forgiveness. And when we ask Him for forgiveness, He cleans us up. And that's what you and I need to do every day. We don't need to do it till when all of a sudden it's really bad and, oh, Lord, you're the only one that can fix this. Because every day we need God's forgiveness. Every day. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why we come to church every Sunday. Because we need forgiveness every week. Can you help me do that? When you do things at home, you do things against mom and dad, when you do things against your friends, we need to ask forgiveness for those things. Okay? Will you pray with me? God, we love You. And we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity for us to be together as friends. We thank You for the gift of this church called College Park. Father, we really thank You for the gift of prayer. Because in prayer, we can ask forgiveness. And we mess up all the time. But sometimes we don't always ask forgiveness. We just kind of let things go and try to do better next time. But You want us to ask forgiveness for every sin that we do. Help us to remember that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seat now. I'll have food next time. Okay, all right.
Every day we indeed need forgiveness. And so I invite you now to follow along in your bulletin as I read the call to confession, which will be followed by a few moments of silent reflection as we make our confession to God through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. As God has instructed us in these great commandments, and because we have not lived in full obedience, let us now confess our sins to God, trusting Christ as our Savior and Lord.
Oh.
The Lord is faithful in all his words, and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are fallen, and raises up all who are bowed down.
May we pray. Lord, during this season of Lent, please help us to examine ourselves. Help us to seek to remove that which separates us from you, that interferes with our being truly Christ-like. We ask that you help us to live as if we truly love you, to have a servant's heart. And Lord, we thank you so much for the incredible sacrifice of Jesus, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. We ask that you accept these offerings, and we ask that you help us to use them to expand your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Just a word of warning. We will we'll be in a couple different passages of Scripture this morning. So let me go ahead and invite you, if you would, take your Bible out so you're a little bit ahead of the curve. And put one finger in Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. Kind of put a finger there and kind of mark that spot. And then put another marker or something over in Mark chapter 14. Kind of hold those two places. We're going to be talking about some thoughts over on the Passover. This is the first Sunday of Lent. We began this journey a Wednesday night with our Ash Wednesday service, and so we are traveling toward the cross. But before we get too far into Lent, I wanted to take a little time and reflect back on the Sundays in February. You know that in February we had kind of an emphasis on stewardship, specifically stewardship of our treasures. And I've been asked, and we have responded. The first two sermons in the worship services in the first two Sundays of February, we actually have compiled those onto one CD. So if you would like those two, Sermon on the Mount, Part 1 and Part 2, as well as some of the music from those services, we have those on a single CD. If you would like to get a copy of that, just let us know in the church office. We'll be glad to get one of those to you. But as we reflected back on the month of February, and really the first 2 months of this year, I think it would be easy for us to look at the first 2 months of 09 and be satisfied. And let me explain that to you. The first two Sundays in 09, excuse me, the first 2 months in 09, January and February, we actually received more offerings than the first 2 months of 08. Now that may surprise many of you. But that's, you know, the statistics I got from Gail as of 5 o'clock on Friday evening. We are ahead of where we were at this point last year. And our expenditures are actually less than what they were for the first 2 months of last year. So we're doing well. And it would be real easy to say, wow, you know, that's good. We ought to be content with that. Well, you know me. I'm a little bit more concerned about matters of the heart than I am about statistics. You know, and while it would be easy to get complacent and satisfied, I also know from talking to Gail that most of our church members still don't tithe. Now, statistically, we know that's true, but it still concerns me. And so that is kind of where I'm coming from this morning. It's still a condition of the heart. And we're beginning Lent. And Lent is a time for examination of ourself, where we are. Where is our heart? You remember as Jesus was teaching, he said, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. And I've had a couple conversations during the month of February, and you've come to me, and they kind of fall into two general categories. I've had some that came to me and said, Raymond, I've had to reduce my tithe because my income is tied to dividends, stock dividends, and or retirement accounts, and those have all been cut in half, or they've been cut by 25%, or they've been cut by 33%. So therefore, I've had to reduce my tithe. If you're in that group, let me say a word of comfort to you and encouragement to you. You did not reduce your tithe. Because the tithe is the first fruits of the harvest. And if the harvest has been cut in half, then your tithe is proportionate to that. So don't live under false guilt. The problem with false guilt is it feels just like real guilt. Okay? So don't live under false guilt. If your income has been cut, understand, the tithe is simply the first fruits of what your income is. That's the scriptural formula, if you will, if there is such a thing. So don't live under that kind of guilt. All right? You didn't reduce your tithe. The tithe is what it is. Okay? Now, the converse of that is true also. I've had those that said, well, you know, Raymond, I'm sorry, but I've had to reduce. And the interesting thing is, they tell me this like they think I know what they give. I don't know what you give. I don't want to know what you give. Gail knows that information. Gail's the only one who knows that information. And she probably doesn't even have a face with the offering envelope number. She punches in everything by, okay, so I don't know what you give. And you come to me and you say, well, I'm sorry I had to reduce my tithe, but the reason for that is I've got a kid starting college next year. Don't a lot of us. You know, I've got a kid starting college next year, or, you know, I've got debts I need to pay off, or, you know, I want to take a vacation, so I'm going to have to reduce my tithe to do that. Or I don't like the way things are being spent around here. I didn't vote for the budget anyway, so I'm going to reduce my tithe. Now, the problem with that is that's not your option. The tithe is what it is. You can choose not to give it to God, but you can't choose to reduce your tithe. You can choose not to offer to God what God demands of you, but that's a matter of obedience. You haven't reduced your tithe. You've just chosen not to be faithful. And if you think God's going to bless that, go back and read Malachi 3 again. If in doubt, go back to Scripture. It's pretty clear. And you say, well, Raymond, you know, why are you doing this to us? This is the first Sunday of Lent. This is celebration. We're moving on and we're getting ready to go to the Lord's Supper. Why do you keep talking about this? Well, the reason is because you can't separate the disciplines of faith. And there is an undeniable tie in Scripture between Passover, Jesus, the observance of the Lord's Supper, communion. There's a tie there. You know, do you remember when we were talking, I think it was the second Sunday of February, we were talking about the concept of Abraham and Isaac, how Isaac was the firstborn of the line, the promised line. You know, we talked about the first city, Jericho. We talked about first fruits. We talked about first off. We talked about all of these things, the first of everything, and how they were God's. Well, we'll go back to the story of the Passover, and I want you to understand, we're coming from Exodus. We'll just read from where it is. In Exodus chapter 11, there's a story. And it is the story of the last plague that God sent on Egypt. Some people know it as the plague of the firstborn. Let me read to you. And the first little segment I'm going to read is Moses as he's talking to Pharaoh. He goes before Pharaoh in chapter 11. He says, so Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the slave girl who's at her handmill, and all of the firstborn and the cattle as well. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And so then in chapter 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, he said, on that night I will pass through Egypt and I will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And then in verse 21 of chapter 12 goes on, and Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it into the blood in the basin and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. So what happened? In verse 29, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. And Pharaoh and all of his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Now, notice who was taken in this plague. The firstborn. The firstborn of everything. Man and animal. The firstborn. The firstfruits that belonged to God. And disobedience and defiance led God to take a drastic step to take what was His. And the children of Israel were commanded to remember this. Look in verse 14 of chapter 12. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. The Passover. But not just the Passover, but also the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And these were two consecutive festivals, which were treated sometimes as one holiday. If you see it mentioned in Scripture, sometimes they're treated as one holiday, but understandably so, because they were two events, the commemoration of two events which were linked together in the history of Israel, because it was the events which led to the Exodus from Egypt. God's act of salvation. God's freeing his people from slavery. Now, fast forward many generations. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Stay with me here. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' And the disciples left, and they went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them." I wonder if they ever got tired of seeing that happen. Jesus said it's going to be such and so, and it happened just that way. And they go, "Wow, hey, what a surprise." "Just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. And when evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' And they were saddened, and one by one they said to him, 'Surely not I.' 'It is one of the 12,' he replied, 'one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' And while they were eating, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take it. This is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many,' he said to them. 'I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Okay, so here we are at Passover. Is it a coincidence that Jesus came to Jerusalem during the Passover celebration? Is it a coincidence that he entered to the accolades and the palm branches prior to Passover? I don't believe it is. I don't believe it is. I believe it was the continuation of God's plan to save his people from slavery, a plan that had been in effect for generations. So even as Jesus gathered with his disciples to observe the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, understand there were Jews who were preparing to sacrifice their Passover lambs. And Jesus was aware that he would become the Passover lamb for all of humanity. So as he broke the bread and identified it to the disciples as his body was broken for them, and as they poured out the cup, and he said, this is my blood in a new covenant, which is offered for many. Do you think that he was distraught because they didn't get it? They didn't connect the dots yet? Or do you think that he was rejoicing inside because he knew that eventually they would get it? And that the word would be passed on from generation to generation. John's gospel, in John chapter 19 verse 14, it mentions that it was about noon on the day of preparation of Passover when they led Jesus off to be crucified. Jesus was led to be crucified at the same time that the Passover lambs were being slaughtered at the temple. The same time. And as a result of that, John, in chapter 1, verse 29, who identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed at the same time the Passover lambs were being sacrificed. Do you get that? Is it a coincidence? No. God's Passover lamb was given to be slaughtered at the hands of mankind to fulfill the promise of salvation for mankind. And as we accept that gift, we receive that blessing. You see, God requires the first. He requires the best from us, the first fruits, the best. But he set the standard when he offered his best. When he sacrificed and offered his best, his one and only son, as a salvation offering for us. So next time you're tempted to try to explain to God why you just don't have enough to be faithful to him, don't fool yourself into thinking he understands. You see, as we gather at the table and as we prepare to go into a time of remembering, I think it's critical that we're honest with ourselves. You know, I think we need to be honest with God too, because he already knows. The bigger hurdle, I think, is being honest with ourselves. And as we confess our sins to him, he'll forgive us. Scripture promises that. Let him cleanse you. Let the first Sunday of Lent, 2009, be a milestone in your Christian journey. Make it a day where you surrender your heart to him, where you surrender everything that you are and everything that you have to him. And you may be thinking, well, preacher, you're getting a little bit ahead of the thing here. I mean, we're supposed to be journeying toward the cross, you know, and here we are, communion on the first Sunday of Lent. And the reason for that is very intentional. Because if you're embarking on a journey, you need to know your destination. Because as you travel on your journey, if you don't have a destination, you'll wander. And I think it's important for us to know to what we are traveling. And we are indeed traveling to the cross. We are traveling to the point where our Savior gave himself as the Passover lamb. And it's commemorated in the giving of himself, as we say, the Lord's Supper. So let us approach the table now in prayer. Let me say a word to those of you who may not be members at College Park. At College Park, we offer open communion. And what that means is if you're a believer, whether you're a member at this church or not, if you're a believer, we invite you and encourage you to partake in communion this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for this day and the offerings of this day. Father, our mind is having a difficult time wrapping around how you could give your son for us, because we know we don't deserve it. But Father, you loved us so much that you gave the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, as an offering. And all we can do is say thank you and be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. He gave himself to them. And he said, "This is my body. Take and eat." And then Scripture tells us he took the cup and he blessed it. And he gave it to him and he said, "This is a covenant. And this is a new covenant in my blood." And the disciples, although they didn't get a lot of things, they understood what a covenant was because they were covenant people. but maybe they just didn't understand the full impact of what this new covenant would mean. But they would know it a few short days later. Take and drink. And then Scripture tells us they sang a song before they went out to the Mount of Olives. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. And it's not just a song. It's a song of dedication. It's a song of response. It's a hymn that allows you the opportunity to respond to what you've witnessed in worship, what you've witnessed in the past week, the circumstances of this week. And we want to give you a chance. If you are not a believer, if you don't have a personal relationship with the God who created you and gave His Son for you, we want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here, and maybe you just haven't been faithful, not just in money or anything else, but all things, maybe anything, and you want to square that with God, you just say, Lord, I confess, and I want to be in your perfect will. You can certainly do that where you are, or you can come and pray here at the front. They'd be glad for you to come do that. We have prayer warriors that are probably moving in that direction anyway, so you're welcome to do that. If you're here and you would like to be a part of this fellowship, it's a wonderful fellowship of believers. I can't say that enough. And if you would like to join this fellowship, there are many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share that with you. And you come, and I'll be glad to explain that to you. So whatever your response is, see the words of the hymn. Mean them as you sing them, and sing them to God. Would you stand with me and sing? Ask you to remain standing for just a moment. Brent, you and Angie come on up. Alex, Connor. We've got the whole Jones family here, Brent and Angie, and their two sons, Connor and Alex. Brent is coming on statement of faith. He is a believer. He's been baptized. He's coming on statement of faith this morning. And Angie is coming on promise to transfer a letter from a sister congregation here in our church. Excuse me, in our community. Sister congregation in our church. But here in this city, we don't mention those on purpose. So she's coming this morning, transfer of letter. And of course, Connor and Alex will be growing up, and we'll be nurturing them, and family will be nurturing them. And at some point, we'll have the joy of seeing them come as candidates for baptism. But if you will encourage this family and pray for them, they've been with us now for probably almost 2 years, haven't they? They've been worshiping with us and fellowshipping with us, and they're making it official this morning. If you'll rejoice in that and continue to encourage them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we have addition. We have addition. And Jason has experienced addition this week as well. I'm not sure if you noticed the red rose or read the statement in the bulletin, but Hampton Michael Cogdell. It seems like there should be a third after that, shouldn't it? Hampton Michael Cogdell III. Anyway, Hampton Michael was born this week, and we rejoice with you, Jason. And if you would tell your wife, we continue to pray for her. And I hope that you have a great week. But before we get to that point, I hope that you will come and encourage and meet the Joneses if you've not met them yet. And I want to invite you to do that at the conclusion of the service. Let us join together in prayer now. Dear Father, as we go from this place, we pray that you would walk with us, that you would show us your ways, and that you would give us the strength and courage to follow those. For it's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we ask these things. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.